a life of growth and sanctification. What is the purpose when God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light? What is the divine purpose for every child of God? As I look through the scriptures, I find that one of the main purpose of God is that all His children will grow up. So we're going to talk about a life of growth and transformation. And we're going to look through the corridors of time and look at a life of a man called Peter. And from the life of Peter, you will find the story of growth and transformation. Where Peter started off as a convert, from his days as a fisherman, as he grew in the Lord, he becomes a leader and finally he becomes the apostle of the early church. So we're going to look at the life of transformation and growth from the life of Apostle Peter, where God changed him by His Spirit from being a reed growing and transformed to be a stone, and finally the final transformation, Peter becomes the pillar in the house of God, and Peter becomes the foundation stone in the New Jerusalem, the pillar of the Holy Temple. And from the life of Peter, we must learn that that life of Peter is an example for us to follow. That in our life, we must have growth and transformation. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. And we will read from verse 41 and 42. John chapter 1, verse 41 and 42. He first find his own brother Simon and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is interpretation, by interpretation, a stone. When I was reading, I was asking the Lord, "Lord, what can we learn from there?" And a song began to arise in my heart. And so I like to sing the songs like this: when Peter or Simon met Jesus. "I am changed when I met my Savior. I am changed when I met my living Lord. I am touched by the Spirit of the Lord. I am touched by the goodness of my Lord. I am filled with the presence of my God. I am filled with the presence of my God. In His presence I will soar like an eagle. In His presence there is joy and liberty." When Peter met Jesus, there was change. There was transformation. And Peter's life began to grow like an eagle and transform. And he was able to soar and become what he really is in Christ. What today we'll talk about what we really are in Christ Jesus. So, on the first day, Andrew brought Peter or Simon to Jesus. And my Bible says, Jesus looked at Peter and he says, "You are Simon." Jesus was moving by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Without any introduction, he knew that that man was Simon. And not only he knew who he was, he knew what his future was. He says, "You are not only Simon, I will tell you by prophecy that you shall be called Cephas, a stone." So let's begin by the first step of growth where Peter encountered Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior. He becomes born again as a Christian, as a new convert. His name was Simon. We're going to learn from the name of Simon some truths that can apply in our own practical daily walk. Simon. What does Simon mean? Simon means, one of the interpretation means, a flat nose. Simon's means a flat nose. He said, "Oh, do I have a flat nose? Is it important to have a flat nose, a round nose, or a big nose, or what?" Well, we have to take everything spiritually in a figurative sense. Simon means a flat nose. What is the meaning of a flat nose? Well, if you look at this scripture here, flat nose in the Bible speaks about a person that lacks discernment and understanding. The scriptures says in Ezekiel 44 verse 23, "And they shall teach my people the differences between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." In other words, if a person had lacked discernment, or in a spiritual sense, he had a flat nose, that man lacked discernment. If you lack discernment, it means that you lack holiness. You do not know how to discern between the clean and the unclean, the holy and the unholy. And that's what happens to a new convert. A new convert is just like Simon that day that met Jesus. He was having a flat nose. A born-again Christian do not still know the ways of God. He do not know what is the holy and the unholy, the clean and the unclean. They must be taught by the priest. So a new convert doesn't know the ways of God. So they lack understanding concerning the way of holiness. Secondly, he who keeps his commandment will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 5. In other words, if you lack discernment, you will not know the seasons and the timing of God. You will not know the seasons and the timing. That means you will live your life as if you are living carelessly, living as what you are living now. You don't have the sense strong of conviction that the Lord's coming is drawing nigh. Just live the way you are because you lack the sense of timing. If you lack discernment, it also means that you lack wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 11, when God told Solomon, he said that you have not asked for me anything, for riches or for long life, but you have asked me for an understanding to discern justice. So a new convert, just like Simon that day, he lacked wisdom. He doesn't have the wisdom of God because he doesn't know the ways of God, because he has not enrolled into the school of the Spirit, which is taught by the teacher Jesus Christ. He has not went into the Sermon on the Mount where he learned the teachings of Jesus. He doesn't have wisdom yet. So that means he lacked the sermon. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." If you have a flat nose, you lack understanding of the word of God. Because the Word of God will helps you to able to discern between the thoughts and the intents of your heart. So if you lack the Word of God means that you lack discernment. Truly, a new convert doesn't know much about the Word. That day, Simon knew practically nothing about the Old Testament Scriptures. Then the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolish unto them, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you lack discernment, that shows that you are living a natural life, that you live a life of carnality, that you don't understand the things of the Spirit. You are still a man of the flesh. So if you are a man of flat nose, it means that you are a man living in the flesh. You're living in carnality. You are not a spiritual man that can discern the spiritual things of the Spirit. And then in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are full of age or have matured, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil in Hebrews 5:14. It means if you lack discernment, you lack spiritual growth. Because the Bible says if you have grown to full age of maturity, you are able to discern both good and evil. So when you lack discernment, it shows the lack of spiritual growth. And that was what is the first phase of Peter's life. Peter was a mere fisherman who had just known Christ. And because of that, in a figurative sense, he had a flat nose. He lacked discernment. He lacked understanding concerning the ways of God, concerning the Holy Scripture, and concerning God Himself. He doesn't know anything at all. If you do not know anything about the Bible, you do not know much about the Word of God, much about God, much about the ways of God, then I'm sorry to say that you have a flat nose this morning. That means you lack discernment. If you are full of carnality and you don't have the wisdom of God and you refuse the way of holiness, then today I also classify that person as a person having a flat nose. That means if you have a flat nose, that means what? Your spiritual growth is really down at the bottom. You're just starting off in the ways of God. And God doesn't want us to stop at there, but continue to grow in the Lord. Why? Because the Scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Why God gave us the Holy Bible is for spiritual growth. God doesn't want us to have a flat nose. God wants us to grow in wisdom, in understanding, in discernment. Amen? So God wants us to grow in the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. In other words, we need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grow exceedingly. Our faith must grow. Our knowledge of the Lord must grow. The grace of God on our life also must grow. It is a life of growth. For example, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Do you know that a temple can grow? It talks about a spiritual temple made of all the saints of the Lord. It talks about growing up. In Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ Jesus. And the last verse says, we grow up to the fullness of the full stature of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the life of a believer, we need to grow. At any stage, whether you are a 5-year-old Christian, or you are a 10-year-old Christian, or you are a 50-year-old Christian, you will never stop growing and you will never stop changing and transforming to be Christ-like until the day you reach the new Jerusalem in heaven. So it's a life of growth, a life of changes, a life of transformation. This morning we are talking about the kind of life is a life of no stagnancy, but ever growing into the fullness and the image of Christ Jesus. We must grow as a Christian. We should not stop where we are. Many people, after they have learned some of the things of God, they stop where they are and they are very comfortable. What I call it, dwarf growth. We must grow to become a man in Christ Jesus. The stature of a man. Not a babe, but a man in Christ. So whatever you are, at with whatever stage of growth you are in, I will still encourage you to keep on growing. Because as you grow, you will change. As you grow, there will be transformation. And the final result is that you become more and more like Christ. Amen? So we must not have a flat nose. Secondly, what does the word Simon mean? In a spiritual sense, the word Simon in the Hebrew also means a reed. R-E-E-D. What is a reed? A reed is like a tall, slender grass. You know, like lalang? A tall, slender grass that grows abundantly in the shallow waters of the marshes and so on. It grows everywhere along the coastal line. It grows along the shores. Plenty in Israel. So talk about the reed like a grass. What does grass represent? When Jesus looks at Simon, he knew who he is. He's like a reed, like a grass. But he said, no, I see in the future that you will become a stone. In other words, Peter's transformation and growth is from a reed to become a stone. A reed always moves about. A stone is stable, solid. Amen? So there's transformation. From a plant species, a reed, it transforms into a mineral species called a rock. So there's a transformation altogether from the plant kingdom into the mineral kingdom. So that talks about transformation as a Christian. Amen? Because why? We are formed from the dust. We are like clay in the hands of the potter. But the end result in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5, we become stones. And finally, in the New Jerusalem, we become stones in the temple. So from clay to become a stone is a transformation. A soft, tender material, if you want a solid state material, there's transformation, there's changes. Amen? So, Jesus looked at Simon. Do you know the word beheld or the word look in the Greek? It means a concentrated, intense gaze. He looked straight into the life of Peter. You know, there's a man called Henry Hinn, the brother of Benny Hinn. He was sharing a story many years back when he was hungry for God. So he always prayed, Lord, let me see the face of Jesus. I want to see Jesus. So every day, for 2-3 hours, he will go into the woods and he will spend time praying. He will spend time praying and praying. And after many months, I believe it goes through the years, he was so discouraged. He was so disappointed. But one day, after his prayer time in the forest during winter, suddenly he felt behind there was a presence of a person. So he turned around. He saw a being whiter than snow, and all the snow around that person melted. That person smiled at this servant of God. He just smiled at him, but Henry Hinn began to cover his chest because he said that although he smiled at me, I knew it was Jesus. But his eyes goes right into my heart, and he saw everything in my heart. I tried to hide myself from him, but could not stop his penetrating gaze into the condition of my heart. So that day, I believe Jesus had that kind of look. He looked straight into the life of Simon. If today, our Lord Jesus Christ will look straight into our life, what will we feel? Will we feel happy or will we say, oh no, we must like Adam and Eve, took the fig leaves and cover ourselves from the presence of God. But one of the marvelous things is like this. When Jesus looked straight into the heart of Simon, he knew everything of Simon. He read Simon's life like an open book. Everything about his life he knew from everything, from top to the toe. He knew everything, but yet he still say, follow me. Marvelous. He looked straight into our life, know everything our life, he still say, I love you. That's the kind of Jesus. He knows everything about us, and yet he still say, serve me. Love me. Because I love you. So now you look at, and you know everything about another person, we try to disassociate ourselves from that person. But it's not the Lord. The Lord yet know everything, the ugliness and the good side of our life, still say, follow me, Peter. Love me, Peter. that's the beauty of Christ. Amen? So we're talking about the reed. Why Jesus was saying, Simon, you are called Cephas? Because Jesus was trying to draw out the potential and the destiny of Peter's life. From a mere growth, he began to see into the future what Peter would do, great things for the Lord. He said, you are a Cephas. He's trying to draw out the potential of Peter's life. He began to give him a prophecy that by that prophecy, his whole life will be changed. You know, there's a story one day, this man saw Michelangelo was working on a huge, shapeless stone. He said, what are you doing? He's telling the sculptor, what are you doing? Oh, I'm trying to release the angel that is imprisoned in this marble stone. Hallelujah. That's what God wants to do. God wants to set us free and take out the full potential of who we are in Christ. He says, Simon, you are not a reed. I know the future. I'm trying to draw the future, the beautiful things out of your life, that you are a Cephas, a stone in the house of God. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to draw the potential of our life out of our life. Tell us what the beautiful thing that we can do for Christ, not the ugly thing. Christ never says, oh, I see some ugly spots on your heart. Oh, let me tell you now, your sin. And he's going to tell you all the things you've done. No. He tells you what are the good things that's inside you, deposited in you. Christ knows what a man is, but he's interested in what a man can become. God knows, you know, what you are, but he wants to know what you can become through his grace. Amen? That's what a Christian life is all about. A life of growth and transformation, that you become a useful vessel for the kingdom of God. Amen? Everybody is useful. Not just a reed, waving the hand. But God says, you are important to be a building block in the temple of God. Amen? So let's talk about the five characteristics of a reed. First characteristic of a reed is that a reed, if you pluck a long grass in Israel, you pluck it off, a reed, if you examine the reed, there is a hollowness in the stem of the stalk. Inside it is hollow. Do you know that a reed inside is hollow? If you go check up the dictionary, they will tell you the same thing. In between is hollow. What does hollowness speak about? Simon, as a new convert, his life was hollow. Hollowness speaks about emptiness. Simon Peter's life was empty, you know? Luke chapter 5, when Jesus met Peter, what was he doing? He had an empty boat, empty net, and an empty life. A life of emptiness. Do you know right now, if your life is still empty, you find not meaningful to live a life as a Christian, you are at the stage of the reed. Praise God. You know where you are now. But don't stop there. Continue to grow from a reed to become a stone. 1 Peter 2:5. Amen? So, a life of emptiness. He doesn't feel fulfilled as a Christian. How about your life? As you look at your life, is your life hollow? Is your life empty? If it is true, it is good news. Because your life meant to be empty. Your life meant to be hollow. To be filled by the presence of God. Not filled by the things of the world, but filled by the presence of God. Amen? There's a scripture in Judges chapter 15. Judges chapter 15. Let me share to you in a verse. Judges chapter 15 verse, yes, you have it? Judges chapter 15 verse 19. When Samson, after fighting a fierce battle with the Philistine, he was very thirsty. And so, he found a jawbone of a donkey. You know, the jawbone of a donkey is hollow. That's why the Bible says in Judges 15:19, so God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out and he drank, and his spirit returned and he revived. Therefore he called its name En-Hakkoreh, which is Lehi to this day. You know what? Hollowness is meant. Hollowness is meant to contain something. That day the jawbone contained the water that revived the spirit of Samson. Right now, when your life is empty, don't feel dismay. It is meant to turn to the Lord and allow the Lord to fill you with His presence, with His love, with His grace. Amen? That is what your life is all about. Our life is like a vessel, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, meant to be an empty vessel to be filled with an heavenly treasure. Amen? So Peter met Jesus, and his hollowness and his emptiness was filled by the love of Jesus. I remember a story in a video. You know, they always call that man Uncle Donut. So one day, this Uncle Donut told one of the kids in the camp, he said, "Look at this donut. It's round, soft. Have you noticed something in the middle? It's empty. There's a big hole there." Then the kid said, "Why is there a big hole?" So the uncle replied, "Oh, the big hole is meant to be filled up by Jesus." That's what all about. Our life is empty, meant to be filled with Jesus. Amen? So if you have emptiness and hollowness, goodness, God wants to fill it up. Amen? Secondly, the second characteristic of a reed is that a reed is unstable. Matthew chapter 11 verse 7 says, "Have you seen a reed that moves with the current of the wind? If the wind blows to the north, the reed will blow to the north." They just follow the crowd. They don't have their own sense of stability. They follow where the wind blows. That's about wavering, unstableness. If you find that your Christian life is unstable, one day you're up, another day you're down. Like stock exchange, one day up, another day down. You know? There's no stability. One day you like to come to church, next week, "I don't feel like coming to church." Congratulations, you have found out who you are. You are at the stage of the reed. Low rank of growth. You need to grow in Christ. Amen? So we need to establish ourselves. One day, Peter says, "Master, I will not betray you. I will follow you all the way." But he betrayed Jesus 3 times. And the Bible says he cried bitterly. Why? He found out he's a reed. His loyalty towards Jesus was wavery. One day up, another day down. If our Christian life is like that, sometimes we feel like praying, we pray. Sometimes we don't feel like praying, we don't pray. If you go by the moods of the day, then you are a reed. Hallelujah. So a reed must change to be a stone. The third characteristic of a reed is a reed can be easily crushed. If you take a grass, you know, those kind of reed grass in Israel, you can pluck it and you can crush it easily in your little hand. Even a 5-year-old boy can crush it in his hands. It's very easily crushed. It's very fragile. Somebody said, "Pastor, I got hurt. Somebody say an unkind word about me. I'm hurt. I don't want to come to church anymore." Well, you are a reed. You are easy crush. "I don't like that person. I don't want to talk to him. He says some things about me." Oh, you're crushed, right? Oh, you are reed. Easily crushed. That shows who you are. Let me give you a statement. It's a very profound statement. Wounded people or hurt people. Think carefully, you know. Along your life, you'll meet many. Hurt people. But look at the life of Joseph. Though he can be hurt and wounded by the things that the brother did to him, but what happened? The life of growth and transformation from a bitter person to become a better person in Christ. Look at the life of Gideon. He was a very coward person, fearful of the enemy of the Midianites, but God changed his cowardice to become a courageous person in Christ. Look at us. We are like converts in Christ. God wants to change us from being a convert status to become a co-worker with Christ in the Lord's vineyard. Amen? There's a life of change. Don't stop at the stage of a reed. Third, fourthly, the reed grow in the mangrove swamps. If you want to find reeds, go to Israel. Look where the swamps is. Look where the mangroves is. You will find all the reeds are there. What does mangrove swamp speak about? It speaks about a life of sinfulness. If you always confronted with besetting sins, sins always is a major problem in your life. You know, sins always come to buck you and pull you down and you are discouraged. It's because you are like a reed growing in the area of the swamp. So if you find that you are always every day, instead of loving Christ every day, you're fighting against the flesh, fighting against not to sin against God, then you are just a reed Once you see that, you'll know where your level of growth is. It is not a sin to be a weed, but it is wrong to remain as a weed for the rest of your life. It's not sinful to be a babe in Christ, but it is something wrong for a person to remain as a baby all the days of his life. Amen? So once you identify yourself today, you know where you are, whether you are a reed or whether you are stone or whether you go on to become a pillar in the church, you identify those characteristics. Once you know where you are, don't get discouraged. That is a sign for you to what? Buck up your spiritual life and start growing. Amen? Because Christian life is a life of growth and transformation. Finally, the fifth characteristic, a reed. There's no beauty. There's no beauty in a reed. It's just dull, pale green color. There's nothing significant that will attract you to it. There's no beauty. Nothing beautiful of a reed. But guess what? God took it from being a priest. And one of the disqualifications is a flat nose. Simon had a flat nose, but God still used him. Isn't that good news? If I look at our life, oh Lord, look at all our defects, I don't think God will use me, no? If God can use a person like Simon with a flat nose, God can also use you. Amen? If God can use a person like a reed, He can also use you. Amen? So be encouraged and say, hey, God will use me. But Peter began to grow from a reed. He becomes a stone. When did the stone start to manifest? When did the fulfillment of the prophecy in John chapter 1 took place? It took place in Matthew chapter 16. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. The book of Matthew chapter 16. A very familiar verse that we have gone through before. It says in verse 17 and 18, Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That was the beginning of the manifestation of the transformation from a reed to become a stone. He says, now you are called Peter. Peter means a stone. Peter means a rock. Peter means Petros. It means a small rock. There's a change taking place. A transformation has started to take place after 3 years of association with Jesus Christ. So there was a change. And he says, you are now a rock. You're rocky. What happened? There was a change in him. When? How did it happen? I believe changes from being a reed to become a stone happens when you know Simon's name. You know what's Simon's name? There's another third meaning of Simon's name. Simon's name in the Hebrew means hearing. Hearing. What did Simon hear? Simon heard the voice of the Father. Simon began to understand through hearing the revelation that Christ is the rock. And if we establish our life on Christ, nothing can prevail against it. Amen? He keeps hearing. Not hearing Bible knowledge. Not hearing information. He's hearing revelation, the voice of the Father. So if you hear revelation, and if you hear the voice of the Word of God, there will be changes. I remember the first time, I think many, many years ago, when I heard the first Rhema in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 and 9. That Rhema established me. I just know that I know that I know that I know that Christ has forgiven me, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that becomes a revelation and it becomes a stone in my life and it establishes me. And from a reed, there was a slow transformation and there was an appearance and a look like a stone. Amen? Transformation begins when you have revelation. So when you read the Bible, and you don't have revelation, and you don't live by that revelation, the transformation has not fully taken place yet. It still needs that revelation. And revelation comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not
the Logos, but the Rhema. So we need to tune our ears to hear the voice of the Spirit. Then there will be a change. Sometimes when you look at people, you know where they are. Why? Because they didn't spend enough time in the presence of God and in the Holy Word. Because you don't spend that quality time in the Word of God and in prayer, there's no changes. You remain a reed for the rest of your life. But it will be so sad one day you come to God and God said, wow, you are still a reed? You know what do I do with a reed? You know what God do with a reed? Let me tell you about the future. 1 Corinthians 3 says, anything, the work of the flesh, is wood, hay, and stubble. Hay is reed. Will all be burned up and become ashes. Only things that are gold, silver, and precious stones remain. Only things that are precious stones. Transformation. God doesn't want you to remain as a hay, but to become as precious stone. Then those things will remain in heaven. Amen? So we need to grow and we need to change our life. Amen? As we spend time in the presence of God. So it comes by hearing the right word. But if you stop at a stone, it still is very sad. Why is very sad? Because if you study the word stone, the word petros, the word peter, it came from the Hebrew word kef. K-E-P-H. Kef means a hollow rock. It means what? A hollow rock. You know, sometimes we have some changes, we have some spiritual growth, we say, oh, we have arrived! But when God looks at our heart, yes, though you may have some solidness and some stability, but when I look into your heart, it's still hollow. Have you seen some Christians? After they grow, and they stop growing. They think they are now rocky. But inside them, empty. Why? It's a hollow rock. Why? I told you, you should not stop growing until the day Jesus comes. It is always a life of growth and transformation. So it's a hollowness. What's a hollowness? It means to be transformed. It means to be changed. It means to be filled by the presence of God. So don't stop there. Keep on growing. Amen? As you keep on growing, now, let's talk about how does a rock becomes a pillar. Because the final destination is to become a pillar. Right? There are 96 pillars in the tabernacle of Moses. 96 pillars. What is a pillar? A pillar is someone looked upon as a matured person, as a leader. Some leaders are not matured. I'm talking about real maturity to be a leader. A leader, and also in Galatians 2:9 says, a leader is a pillar. In Revelation 3:12 says, if you overcome, you'll be a pillar in the temple. So whoever becomes an overcomer in life, you overcome sin, you overcome things in your life, you become a pillar. Amen? So we must turn from a rock to become a pillar. That's a final destination. How does this take place? It takes place, firstly, through prayer. Because Matthew 16 says, you are now the rock. Wow, there's some stability. But as Peter continued to walk with Jesus, his faith began to waver as he heard about the signs of persecution. Then one day, Jesus in his private time, in Luke 22, verse 31, he prayed and he told Peter, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. In order for this, the change from a rock to be a pillar, we need intercession. You know, sometimes when we grow in the Lord, we still need people to pray for us, to pray until we reach full maturity. Colossians chapter 4 verse 12 says that Epaphroditus was praying that they will be blameless, that they will grow in the fullness of what they are in Christ. Amen? So we need to continue to pray. You see some people who are growing to become a rock, we must continue to pray for them until they become a pillar. What is a pillar? A pillar is something that will withstand the pressure of the house. They can withstand all the pressures of life. That is a pillar. What does a pillar also do? Genesis chapter 31, it says the first time the anointing oil was mentioned, it says the anointing oil was poured upon a pillar. A pillar is someone that can withstand the pressures of life. A pillar is someone that is an overcomer in life. A pillar is someone that has the anointing of God upon his life. What else does a pillar is? A pillar, you look at the tabernacle of Moses, the top part of a pillar is made of a silver cap. The bottom part is made of brass. That means a pillar is someone that has judged their walk. They live godly in life and their mind is redeemed. truly a man that fit to be a leader is someone that renews the mind, that they have the mind of God, and also in their walk, they walk consciously in the ways of the Lord. So a man that walks godly, fearing the Lord, then he becomes a pillar in the temple of God. Amen? Now, how does it happen? From a stone to become a pillar, you need prayer support. So when you see someone that starts to change, oh, you're different now, huh? Oh, nowadays you love the Lord. Wow, nowadays you like to pray. Nowadays you like to read the Word of God. Nowadays you like to come to church regularly. Wow, it's a transformation. Wow, nowadays you want to even want to enroll in the Bible school. Wow, good thing. Wow, you also want to sign up to be a full-time in the ministry. Wow, that's a rock. Don't stop there. Many people fail in the ministry. Because why? A rock still have hollowness in the central part of him. If you don't believe me, look at that. Many people, they're still hollow inside. You know why? They serve the ministry, they never serve the Lord. So there's a hollowness that's not filled up. Amen? Don't serve work. Work is an idol. Don't serve ministry. Serve the Lord. Amen? So we must continue to go and pray for them. That's why the Bible says pray for leaders. Because why? Leaders are still a rock with a hollowness in the middle. That's me also. And pray for what? Pray for apostles, all the fivefold ministers, everyone. Because why? Some of them are still rock with hollowness in the middle. We need to pray for them. That they walk in the fullness of God and walk in all the phases of the ministry life. Amen? But what is the final change that caused Peter finally to become a rock? To become a pillar? Two things. Firstly, after he betrayed Jesus, he was so discouraged, he went back fishing. But in John chapter 21, while he was fishing and caught nothing, Jesus Christ was preparing a barbecue fish and some breakfast for Peter to enjoy. He said, "Peter, come!" Oh, Peter rushed to the shore and he saw the firewood, the charcoal and everything. It reminds him of the day he betrayed Jesus. So he was very down. But Jesus says, "Simon Peter, do you love me more than this?" About his fishing career. He says, "Yes, Lord, I love you. Then feed my lamb." Second time in verse 16. So Simon Peter, do you really love me more than this? "Yes, Lord, I love you. Then feed my sheep." Third time again, "Simon Peter, do you really love me?" "Yes, Lord." "Then feed my sheep." So three times he talks about aspects of ministry. But what is feed my lamb and feed my sheep? Firstly, he says, "Simon Peter, I'm going to groom you up to be a shepherd and a pastor of the early church. You're going to take care of the younger ones, feed them, that they will grow. And then for those maturing, he says, feed my sheep." The word, second word for feed, it means to train, to disciple, to shepherd. It means to train them up. And finally, in verse 17, he says, feed my sheep again. Why? Some older sheep still need to eat every day. Have you seen some sheep? "Oh, I'm 5 years old now. I don't have to eat anymore." Then get ready for slaughter. To become lamb chop. No. They still need to eat, right? Why? You need to survive. So when you grow, even 20 years or 15 years from now, don't tell me you still don't spend time praying. Don't tell me that you don't spend time in the Word. You still need to be fed by the Lord. Amen? So whatever stage of growth you are, you still need the feeding. You still need the feeding what? For growth. A lamb doesn't have wool. But as they grow, they become bigger and they have wool. For what? For the sake of others to lay down their life and skin themselves and be a comfortable seat for others. Amen? So there's a change. That's the second thing. Jesus began to tell him, "Yes, I know that you have betrayed me, but I still love you. In spite of everything that you have shown me to be a reed and even a hollow rock, I still love you." It is the love of God that caused our hearts to be so touched that he said, "Lord, in spite of all my failure, in spite of everything that I've done, you still say I'm part of the team." Once you are touched in that sense, you will continue to walk with the Lord all the days of your life. Sometimes we need to fail to really fully appreciate the love of God. We must fail totally, 100%. You say, "Wow, that's the encouraging failure." Yeah. Failure is a stepping stone for success. You have never walked that walk, you have never failed before. When you have failed, fully failed,
flunked the test of God,
you are on your way to self-discovery and on your way to discover the true nature of God. And many times I failed and failed and failed. There's one whole year I failed so badly. I told God, you know, hopeless. And God says, that's good. That's a starting point where I can start to mold you. Now you can help yourself, I can help you. You see, we always want to show ourselves that we are running the show. But God says, let that person fail. Fail and fail and fail. And finally say, you fail, right? You cannot do anything right. I come and help you. That's what happened. We need to be failed. And then experience the love of God. Say, wow, that's not everything. You still love me. Yes. That's how you become the healer. When you fully understand the love of God. The final thing is, Acts chapter 2, that Peter received the fullness of the Spirit. When he received the fullness of the Spirit, he becomes a pillar. For the first time, instead of fearing men, he stood up and he preached a sermon that 3,000 souls were won. And another occasion, he preached again, 5,000 souls was won. And another occasion, someone lied to him and they fall down dead. On another occasion, Acts 5, the shadow of Peter healed the sick. He becomes the pillar of the church. Why? When he received the fullness of the Spirit. The question today is, if you have not really received the fullness of the Spirit, don't stay where you are. Don't be complacent. Keep on growing. There is a level whereby you receive the fullness. The day when the fullness comes, you know what you feel? You feel like a mighty river just flow out of you. And whoever comes being in your face, you smack them down with the blessings of God. That's how powerful that Hudson Taylor, Watchman Nee, and so on. Because they enter into the fullness of the Spirit, where the spiritual realm is so powerful that whoever comes along their way will be influenced by their presence. Amen? So we must grow and receive the fullness of the Spirit. But you say, but Pastor, that's pillar. But I'm still a reed. Let's talk about reed, don't talk about pillar. Pillar is too far away for me to appreciate. Okay, let's talk about reed. You know why God chose to use reed? Because he says, Simon, you are son of Bar-Jonah. Or you are son of Jonah. You know what that means? Bar-Jonah. The word Bar means son. Jonah means a dove. D-O-V-E. Simon, the reason why I leave you, because you are a son of a divine dove. Because you are born again. Who is the dove? The Holy Spirit. Luke 3. The reason why I pick on you, because you are born of the Spirit. You are son of Jonah, son of the dove. So if you are born of the Spirit, you are born again as a Christian, you are qualified to be used by God. No matter how awful your reed condition is, as long as you know you are of Jonah, you are son of Jonah, then you have hope. Because God will always use you, because you are born of the dove. Amen? Let's look at the last scripture in Matthew, yes. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 20, he says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he send forth justice to victory. Let's talk about the reed now. He says, a bruised reed. In life, many pressures in life cause us to be so disappointed with God, so disappointed with the church, so disappointed with people. They will say, I don't want to serve God. I don't want to be a Christian anymore. Why? We are bruised. We are hurt. We are wounded, right? A bruised reed. But God say, a bruised reed I will not crush. That means if you're hurt, you're wounded, you know what God will do? God will not crush you and put you aside. God will somehow, by His loving love, compassion, comes and heal you. Amen? You know what happened in Israel? A boy will go into the mango swamp, he paired a long reed. You know what they use it for? Because of the hollowness, they can blow through that reed. It becomes a musical pipe instrument. So they blow, 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 because of the pressure of the breath, somehow it splits. So it bursts. So they throw again, they find another reed and they blow again. As a whistle. So they have fun picking one after another. So they pick one, blow for a while, throw away, pick another one. So they throw away, it becomes like useless. At a wayside. But God will not say, oh, split already, go on, throw. I use another person. Oh, you wounded, go on already. Use another person. Oh, you sinful, is it? Go on already, throw another. God didn't do that. You know what God do? God take the one and heal it back. Heal it back. Then he talks about a smoking flax. You know what's a flax? A flax is a wick. W-I-C-K. You know a candle with a top part? You know, in Israel, what they do is that the housewife will take from the drawer. They have a lot of wick. So they take it out and put there and burn. And when the thing becomes burnt out, the left the residue, they throw away and find another wick to replace it. People say, oh, useless already, now burn out. Cannot be useful, throw away. God will take every burnt out soul. You see, I will not throw it away. I will not quench the fire. I will somehow do something about it, and it will continue to burn for me. Do you feel that you are like a reed? That nobody appreciates, people throw you aside? Do you find that right now you have a split in your condition, that you're wounded, that somebody throw you aside, or you find that you are like a weak, burnt out, cannot be used by God anymore? You say, oh, I've not touched with God for almost 3 years. My tire already pumped already. Four tires also pumped already. Flat tire. I don't think God will use me. God will still use you. Because He says He will not quench the fire of the smoking facts. You know how you're going to do it? If you study in the book of Matthew chapter 12, it was taken from the book of Isaiah. It talks about in Isaiah 42, I will put my spirit upon my elect. The way of restoration, of turning from uselessness to usefulness, is when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. God will use every burn, every bruised reed. God will use every burnt out wick when the presence of God is on you. If you never fail to run back into God's presence, God will still use you. I don't care how far you have been. You say, oh, Pastor, you don't understand me. I've been weak all the days of my life. I cannot be changed. As long as you go back to the presence of God, God will do something about it. And one day you'll be surprised, hey, I don't know why, now this, hey, I love the Bible, I love to come to church. Why? There's a change. But God don't want you to stop even at a stone. Some of you are transforming and you long and you feel that, oh, now I'm a stone, praise God. God don't want you to stop at a stone. God wants you to grow and become an overcomer and becomes a pillar in the house of God. Amen? That is your story and my story. Our story is a life of growth and transformation. I wish I had time to tell you from Genesis to Revelation, the theme of the Bible. Then you understand this is what it's all about. A life of growth and transformation. Amen? It's exciting to grow. Amen? Grow in the Lord. To become a bigger container. And one day you become a big reservoir that contains the presence of God. And even more. Amen? Don't stop where you are. Amen? Let's close our eyes for a moment.